Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 6, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 27, the third paragraph that begins with, "He said to the doctor," reading through two paragraphs, ending with, "An alcoholic of your description." And we'll be reading and commenting on both these paragraphs. Today's readers are Martha Z, who will be reading the 12 steps, Naomi B will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Penny LC, Laura R, and Dion R. The share ID for Tuesday, January 5th, 2021, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,133. This morning's Wednesday, January 6th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is, the share ID is 16,138. Our newcomer greeter for today is Audrey M.P., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Martha Z to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your loving service. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you, Martha Z. Good morning, Naomi B. If you would read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Happy New Year to you, my friend, and thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted service. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issue, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to service, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 27, the third paragraph that begins with, "He said to the doctor," and we're reading through two paragraphs ending with an alcoholic of your description. We're reading and commenting on both these paragraphs. And Penny L.C., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen, and thank you for your service. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. "Yes," replied the doctor, "there is exception." Oh, sorry, back up one line. "He said to the doctor, 'Is there no exception?' 'Yes,' replied the doctor, 'there is. Exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early time. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of a huge emotional displacement and rearrangement. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. In fact, I have been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you. With many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful, but I have never been successful with an alcoholic of your description." And that is where the reading ends. But also there's an asterisk there, and it refers us to the appendix. So what's going on? He's asking about an exception. He's asking Roland, in this case we're talking about Roland Hazard speaking to Dr. Jung, and he wants to know, basically, is there any hope for him? The same way I know I came to 12-step recovery, wondering if there was any hope for me. And the answer is yes. And as the doctor goes on to describe, it's describing the chance to have this spiritual experience, this spiritual awakening. And it's a renewal of the mind and a transformation. You know, it's outlined there with the description of a promise of personality change. But what comes with that personality change is the change in a relationship with our higher power. And, you know, we have to be able to make that connection. But basically we are being able to listen and hear in these words what we are going to feel, how it's going to feel, and how it's going to look based on following the directions in this book. And so it's having that sort of that hope, you know, that hope that if I tune in, if I follow the directions in this book, I too can have that change, that spiritual, vital spiritual experience. Mine has been over time and over these years of working this program. And it is amazing to look back and see how higher power has changed, has made changes within me, and has allowed me to see things differently. And what a gift that we all have the opportunity to travel this journey together. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started this morning. And again, we're on page 27, the third paragraph that begins with, "He said to the doctor," and we're reading through two paragraphs, ending with "an alcoholic of your description. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too." So who else would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Naomi B.
Jerry and Jim.
And Janice PM.
I got Janice PM, but who is before Janice?
Jerry HM.
Jerry HM, okay.
Elaine D.
Was that Elaine B?
Dion R.
Yes.
And Dion R.
Janice
Laura R.
I got Laura R. And who is with Laura? Okay.
Janice
we're
K.
Going to, Janice K, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Naomi B., Terry H.M., Janice P.M., Elaine B., Dion R., Laura R., and Janice K. So go ahead, please, Naomi B.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., still a grateful recovery compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I love this paragraph because it gives me such hope about the vital spiritual experience and a huge emotional displacement, rearrangements. It just all suddenly cast aside, and this emotional rearrangement. Oh my gosh, this is huge. I mean, this is a transformation I desperately needed in my life. Absolutely. I was so hungry for hope and some kind of future that would be without me being condemned to a wheelchair. And I got it. I got it with this program, working these steps, getting close to my higher power, knowing that he was in charge. And I mean, I went to church. I believed in God. But you see, I thought the food situation was too big, and I couldn't do anything. But in reading this, it's like he cares, he loves me, and this emotional rearrangement. Instead of going off like some kind of crazy woman to my husband or my daughters, it's like there's a more calm. Am I perfect? No. I have my moments, but I have tools. I have the spiritual tools that I can work, that I can maintain this vital spiritual experience and the emotional rearrangement, which I needed desperately. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. from Pennsylvania. And Terry H.M., you are up, followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Terry. star 1 to unmute, Terry.
This is Sherry H.M. from Washington State.
Oh, sorry.
And,
Sherry,
oh, no worries.
Thank you, Sherry.
I love, no problem. I love this paragraph. It is the second paragraph there. It is really kind of the apex of this book because, you know, he's so desperate. And I remember when I was so desperate, I had about $13,000 to $16,000 out of pocket of medical bills every year from ankylosing spondylitis and lupus. And I was just so sick and tired of being caught up in the food. And I just thought, okay, there's got to be one more diet. And my Al-Anon friends told me about Overeaters Anonymous. So I went through the rooms and found Vision shortly thereafter. And on the way home, to back up a bit, I met with a program person that I knew. And she said, you know, that higher power had done for her what she couldn't do for herself. So on the way home from Starbucks, I threw up my hands, so to speak, and I just said, okay, God, you know, I can't do this. I got to get off this crazy sugar addiction. And by doing this program, by working the steps, really getting involved and, you know, working hard and listening to all the podcasts that I could on Vision, God has done for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I'm so grateful for all you people and to God. And anyway, I'm just so grateful. It does work. And just like the paragraph says, it works. It really does. So thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. from Washington. And good morning, Janice P.M. You're up, followed by Elaine B.
And good morning to you, Kathleen. My name is Janice P.M. And I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts. Here I am. You know, what I love about this paragraph is, you know, you go to a doctor and he says, pardon me, you know, he asked the doctor, is there any exception? And he said, yes. And here I was thinking, I'm going to be the exception to the rule here because he's going to give me the answer. And he says, yes, there is. Oh, boy, I got so excited. And then he explains that the exceptions are not as easy as 1, 2, 3. He calls it a phenomenon, which is something very hard to understand. You know, it's like a marvel. It's once in a while, he says, once in a while, these alcoholics, these compulsive overeaters, have what we call a vital spiritual experience. Well, I even thought then when I read this that, well, I have a God of my understanding. I want to pray harder. I know I had a lot of religious, you know, but I really didn't know really about the huge emotional displacements in the ideas. My ideas would change. My emotions would be different. My attitudes that were once my guiding forces, because I always thought I was right, you know, and I love the rest of this, would be cast to one side. Now, I thought, okay, cast to one side means I'll never have them again. I thought I would be cured. I wouldn't have these crazy ideas or emotions. But no, they're just cast to one side because they come back very readily if I'm in not, you know, good spiritual condition. And I love that. And this is why it refers to page 567, the appendix 2, necessary vital spiritual experience. They're only cast to one side one day at a time. And if we don't keep asking for help and helping others, knowing that it's the 12 steps, then they'll come back like a lightning strike. And I like that now today, that I know that. Only cast to one side. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Elaine B., you are up, followed by Dion R. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thanks for your service and everybody doing service. Appreciate it. And also from Massachusetts, like Janice PM. Yay. Well, I am so grateful I found this program. You know, I spent a lot of time with Ben and Jerry. They were sweet. They never said no. Eminem, oh, they were handy dandy. You could pop them in your mouth anywhere. But when I really came into OA, I had Jolly Ranchers fire candy in my mouth all the time. I think of all the business meetings, all the times I was talking to staff and editors and stuff like that. And I had hard candy clicking around in my mouth. Oh, it just must have been so disgusting. I just can't even believe it. But I needed access to ease and comfort in order to show up. You know, I didn't know how to deal with what was eating me. And I came from a family of compulsive overeaters, whether it was bulimia, anorexia. For me, I was just fat. I wore fat like a badge because I couldn't become unfat. I didn't know how to do it. I had a relationship with a higher power, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. I needed a new vital spiritual experience. And that's what I found by working these steps. And when I did, all of a sudden, I saw what I didn't see. I could understand what I didn't know. I had an awakening, a spiritual awakening. You know, it says sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly in this here big book and in the spiritual experience that it refers to in Appendix 2. But, you know, I did get a sudden realization that I was trusting and relying on myself and not God. When I gave my fifth step away, I saw why I had blocked myself from an aspect of God that I needed in order to overcome compulsive overeating and finding food as my source of ease and comfort. Instead, I had to find out what was eating me. And doing the four step and continuing for a lifetime, I get to dredge out more and more guiding forces that I learned that's more helpful for me to unlearn. And my motives have been really readjusted from I, me, me, my way, my script for you. You're not doing what I want. They're not doing what I want. This, you know, my reactions to COVID, my reactions to government, my reactions to news, all of these different things. I have a place I can bring it. I have a higher power that can bring me back to center. And now I can really focus on carrying this message. Every time I do, I learn more. Every time I work with others and listen to you guys, I learn more. There's new experiences, more to learn, more to go. And so here we grow, and I'm grateful to be doing it together with you. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. from Massachusetts. And Dion R., you are up, followed by Laura R. Go ahead, Dion.
Yes, hi. Excuse me. Good morning. Sorry. Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Dion R., recovered, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And this ditto, first of all, let me get that out there. I'm just like in agreement with what everybody was sharing. And that part that stuck out to me, a couple of things. One, the phenomenon. To me, these are current phenomena. All the ones my former fellows just shared. These experiences are phenomenon, and to me, that means I can't explain, bottom line. I can't, and Carl Jung was saying, he can't explain. But they appear, as everyone said, in a huge emotional rearrangement, misplacement. The first time I saw it but didn't think it could happen to me, this description right there is when, as a young teenager, young adult, I would see friends of mine who used to do what I do, and did what I did, and they became what our culture, religious culture at that time called, was born again. And I thought, like, oh, I just can't get it. Why can't I get this, you know, emotional ideas and arrangements and, you know, just this whole concept, all those things be replaced with something. They were more, they didn't want to do the stuff we want to do. They didn't want to talk about. And I felt like, I guess I'm just not part of the bunch. But you know what, something and our fellows just said, my beginning vision for you fellows, I heard, shared today, yay. But one of the things I heard her say was that part, cast to one side. When that did happen to me, when I did become willing, and I had to get all those the other normal people got through other ways, I had to get through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous to get free from the addiction from food. So, and this is the other part I like. It says, this says, many envision with the message which I implored are successful, all the normies, right? But I have never been successful with an alcoholic of the other shit. So the compulsive overeater that I was, I could be successful. I thought I was weak. No, I was just different, and I needed a different solution. Thank God my higher power brought me over, just anonymous and clear-cut directions, 12 steps, to get me to the point where people see a change in me, I see a change in me, I experience a beautiful, vital, spiritual, I could call it that now, experience. And I can't, I don't know how to give it to anyone because I can't, but I can just witness that it does work through the 12 steps. Oh, wow. That's why I keep coming back, guys. I'm going to pass this. Yeah. Thank you, Elaine, for allowing me to share. I mean, Catherine.
Thank you, Dion R. Dion, what state are you from? Okay, I missed her. She muted. Okay, Laura R., you're up, followed by Janice K.
Hey, good morning. Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. Wow, I just love this paragraph. And this is why I keep coming back. I never arrive, right? Like, I need change. And, you know, it's been a journey over the years being in recovery, first from something else, and then just kind of the layers of the onion. I heard when you first came to recovery, it's just you keep healing different layers of the onion and more is revealed. And coming into OA, realizing that I had a food addiction, there more change needed to happen. And, you know, one of the things that I think is hardest for me is to realize that, like, it's not an overnight matter and it continues for a lifetime. Like, I want the immediate, fast, like, I'm perfect, you know, which is another character defect of mine. Like, I just don't want to feel pain. I don't want to hurt others. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be imperfect. You know, I want to just be like easy peasy. Life is great. You know, I'm in great relationships with others all the time, and I don't have any bedevilments, but that's just not the case. And I am so grateful, so grateful. And I have to remind myself all the time. And I love how this book throughout, it's just like sprinkled different like times where it's talking about, like right now it's talking about change, and it's in the spiritual experience. It says that, you know, again, it's not, sometimes it's the educational variety for some of us. And for me, that has been my experience. And then in the 10th step, at night when we do our nightly review, it says that, you know, we don't get into morbid reflection. Hold on one second, sweetie. We don't get into morbid reflection. When I do end up falling short, I have the tools that I get to pick up and, you know, make the amends or realize that I've been selfish. So I am truly grateful that this is not an overnight matter. And I'm also, what I love is that both Dr. Jung and Dr. Folkworth both said, hey, you know what? We don't have what it takes, you know, to help these people. What does have what it takes is something that has depth and weight, which is a higher power, and then the 12, and then God gave us the 12 steps, and that helps us get closer to our higher power. You know, what I love is in the 10th step, and it talks about that we are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. You know, we're not fighting it. Like, God just makes the change when he sees it possible in us. Like, all my character defects, all the, like, and I have changed from the beginning to where I'm at today. And of course, I wish I was a little bit farther along, but I have a little kid just looking at me. Stop, buddy. Anyway, I'm going to pass. But anyway, I'm just so grateful to be here, so grateful to be a compulsive overeater. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. in Colorado. And Janice K., before I take you, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 27, the third paragraph that begins with, he said to the doctor. We're reading through two paragraphs this morning, ending with an alcoholic of your description, and I'll be taking some more names after Janice. So go ahead, please, Janice.
Thank you. This is Janice K. in Oregon. The lines that really get to me are ideas, emotions, and attitudes which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions and motives began to dominate them. It's not a shock until it happened to me. I was quite willing to claim it beforehand. But when it happens, there is a real difference. What ideas did I lose? I lost the idea that no one but me would ever do anything for me except me. I was by myself in the universe. What emotions did I lose? Oh, lots of fear. Lots of fear. What attitude did I lose? Oh, my goodness. A lot of protective behaviors went away. And a whole new set of conceptions, ideas, and motives began to dominate them. What new concepts do I have? Hey, I am another bozo on the bus and I love it. I get to belong. I get to be normal. Hey, in these rooms with you people, I'm normal. Woohoo for me, I finally made it. And motives. Oh, my motive is so much of what I do now is prompted to serve, to be of service. And when I say it is my privilege to serve, it is. It is my privilege to be of service. So thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. from Oregon. Okay, we're on page 27, the third paragraph. He said to the doctor, reading through two paragraphs, ending with an alcoholic beer description. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, I'm ready for some names.
Kristen R. in Virginia.
Terry KB.
Noel E. Okay, hold on. I heard someone in Virginia.
Kristen R.
And was there, I heard Cherry KB. Did someone else come in with Kristen R.?
Laura W.
H. Noel E.
Laura W. Laura W.
Anna
Mo H. Wait, I heard someone after. I heard someone after Mo.
No, Noel E.
Noel E. And then I heard Anna.
Annabelle Z. from Washington.
Annabelle Z. Okay, I'm going to have to stop there. We'll see if we have time for more after that. Okay, I'm not sure this is the perfect order, but Laura W., Kristen R., Cherry KB, Mo H., Noel E., and Annabelle Z. So go ahead, please, Laura W.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. I've listened to both meetings this morning, and I'm really learning a lot. You know, I'm just hearing, what I'm hearing is that there's really only one thing I need to do, you know, only one thing that needs to change in order for me to recover. And that is everything. And what I mean by that is that I can tell you, actually, I write in my gratitude journal every day, a Dear God letter, and I keep track of the days I'm abstinent because it's one day at a time for me. And 6,000 days ago today, I became abstinent. So we're talking about over 16 years ago, I got abstinent. But I can't tell you the day that my resentment faded away. I can't tell you the exact day that I didn't feel angry every morning. And I can't tell you the exact day that that I didn't wake up with fear every day. But I'm experiencing that today, for the most part, one day at a time, because of working these steps. And it's telling me here that my ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the of my life, are suddenly cast to one side. There's been a death of my old self, and there's been a rebirth of my new self. And, you know, it's not always great. It's not always, and it's certainly not perfect, but I really don't wake up with the overwhelming, terrifying fear, anxiety, anger, resentment, self-pity, all of the emotions and feelings that caused me to do the things I did with food. I'm not experiencing that today. And that is not because my food is clean. That, of course, is just the beginning. It's because of working these steps and finding my higher power again and developing that relationship. You know, my food has to be down before I can address my mind. And I know that the mind is the main source of my problem. So these new beliefs and these new behaviors have to be developed. And when you develop something, it doesn't immediately happen. It takes time. It's a process. It's a growth. And that's how my spiritual awakening has been. I haven't really had a spiritual experience, like a white light, bam experience, but I've had this awakening, and I can tell you that I'm less resentful, fearful, and angry today than I was last year, and then the year before, and then the year before. But the number one thing is that my food has to be clean in order for me to experience these gifts from God. And that's what I heard today. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for my recovery, and I'm grateful for this meeting. It's a lifesaver. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. in New Jersey, and Kristen R. from Virginia. Go ahead, please. Followed
thank
by
you,
Sherry
moderator.
Katie.
Okay. Thank you, moderator, and thank you for your service. My name is Kristen R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. I just finished up a ninth-step amends, and to be honest, what I felt immediately following it was vulnerability, you know, a fear that I wouldn't be, that I would be separate, different, and alone. But the difference, the emotional rearrangement that's taken place in me is that now I turn to my higher power for comfort. Now I turn to my higher power to help me process these feelings. And I don't do it alone. I do it with all of you. I do 10 steps to help me work through any emotional, any emotions that come up. And this program really works because vulnerability becomes compassion, becomes love, and becomes service. And I'm just so grateful for the program. I'm grateful for a sponsor who encouraged me to make not just one or two of my ninth-step amends, but to make all of my ninth-step amends, because that really is the key to freedom. And I'm just grateful for the emotional rearrangement that I've experienced, and I continue to experience every day with all of you. So thank you for your service this week, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen R. from Virginia. Good morning, Sherry KB. You are up, followed by Mo H.
Good morning. Good morning, Kathleen. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and great. So happy to be with all of you on the line. Thanks so much for your service and Team Wednesday. I love this paragraph because it's telling me that if I'm really a true chronic compulsive overeater, and that word chronic always gives me the shivers because it means it's always going to be present, it's habitual, it's troubling, and it's there with long duration. And unless, if I want to stay in the disease, if I want to, if I don't want to stay in the disease, I have to change. This is what it's all about. It's saying it in different ways. Vital spiritual experience, occurrences or phenomena. Huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. It's all talking about I have to change my ideas, my emotions, my attitudes. They have to be the guiding force to cast aside everything that ever knew. So I used to hear also, Sherry, there's only one thing you need to change, everything. And that, you know, I have to be open to change my attitudes and my ideas, to be able to go through these steps, to be able to rely on a higher power greater than myself, and not rely on the Sherry Show, to turn to God when I need help and turn to the steps when I need help instead of turning to the food. And that, you know, this is where the starting of, it talks about the set-aside prayer in here, to cast aside. I have to set aside my old ideas. And the changes that I didn't know, you know, being open to doing things differently. You know, I think of the... also the honesty prayer, you know, the how prayer. God, help me to be honest with myself and you. Please help me to keep an open mind and to do things differently. And please help me to be willing to be willing, because you know what? I've ran the show for so many years that, you know, where did it get me? It got me to be a chronic compulsive overeater. So if I want to change, I've got to be willing to change what's inside of me. And I didn't know what I didn't know, and I couldn't see what I couldn't see until I started doing this work. But the food had to be down first in order to go through the steps, in order for me to change. And I can't do it without my higher power, and I can't do it without these steps. And so I had to be open to be willing to change my attitude. And who would have thought, walking in the doors of OA when I did, that I was just going to use you as a diet with group support, that there was so much more going on between my ears then I knew that how much I had to change. I just thought I needed to lose weight. but no, there's so much more here, and it's so beautiful, and the love that comes from doing this work is amazing, and I pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Sherry KB from California. Good morning, Mo H., also from California. You're up next, followed by Noel E.
Yes, yes, also from Northern California. Good morning, Kathleen. This is Mo H., here, recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. Happy New Year to all. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service and to all those on the line. And I could just go ditto, ditto, ditto to everything that's being shared. You know, the words are being taken out of my mouth, but I was honing in on was huge emotional displacements and rearrangements in my program, which I also came in just to lose the weight. I didn't know I had this disease in my head. I just thought it was on my body. And it took a long time. I'm not going to say it happened overnight. Such as somebody was saying, you know, the spiritual awakening was gradual. But what does a huge emotional displacement and rearrangement look like for me? It's that I think differently, I see differently, I feel differently, and I act differently than I used to. And that started to happen for me about 5 years ago when I found Vision for You, and I also started working the steps as described in the Big Book. So that I think differently when a thought comes in that's critical or negative, I notice it, and I've learned to replace it with a gratitude. And then the thought changes slowly. Or act differently. You know, I would react to things that my husband said or did. And I started stepping back and responding. And sometimes when words would come out of my mouth, I literally would turn around to see who was talking for me, that those were not my words. And it was like, whoa. But for me, that's a huge emotional change. It's a change in how I act, how I feel, how I think, how I see. So I'm more aware today, and I believe that abstinence, as I heard said, needs to come first. I need to get clean with my food, and I need to be honest. And along with that, I need to be working the 12 steps every day, doing 10, 11, and 12 every day. And that step 10 is really a game changer for me. It's the way when I am irritated, when something is going on, and I have many irritations with doing this paperwork since my husband's passing, and I don't understand half of it. But God, I just step back and I say, okay, God, what's the next right action? You know, you need to make a phone call, you need to do this, that. But whatever, I will wrap up with just a beautiful paragraph. And this will happen for you if you continue to work your steps and be open to God's will for you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. from California. Noel E., you're up next, followed by Annabelle Z. Good morning, Noel.
Hi, this is Noel E., grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Louisiana. I actually just reread this passage. First of all, thank you, everyone, for your service. It is, it's so good. I can't describe it. But I just reread this passage because it's so hard not to comment on it by just gleaning from what everybody else has already said on the line. And so rereading it, the part that sticks out to me is they appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacement and rearrangement. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes. In recovery, this change is a phenomena, but that doesn't mean before I didn't love change. Like I loved, especially this time of year, New Year, it's like change your calendar, change your, you know, wardrobe, whatever. It was all outward, physical. Like where it says ideas, emotions, attitudes, you know, when I was in the food and in the behaviors, it was environments and you know, social media picture or whatever. It was all outward stuff that was constantly, constantly changing. I mean, particularly in the last, you know, 6 years for me, it was be postpartum, not be postpartum, like all about talking like that, which is a great place to hide, guys, when you're in the food. I, you know, can't tell you that no one even notices it's going on, even me. But yeah, and this spiritual experience is breathtaking. It is, it's breathtaking. It's feeling like I'm alive for the first time, and grateful for every breath. With that, I'll pass. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Noelle E. from Louisiana. And Annabelle Z. from Washington. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. My name is Annabelle. I am a compulsive overeater and restrictor recovering in Washington. Thank you so much for your service. And I just wanted to thank everyone who shares and especially those who have a lot of time on the disc keep coming back. And like someone who said they had 16 years today, congratulations. It just gives me the hope. And I was reading this part about, I've been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you. Like, he's trying desperately. I'm really trying to do this. Like, the poor doctor knew that, I think Mrs. Roland Hazard needed to have this spiritual experience. And, you know, whenever I hear somebody who's recovered not eaten any food that is their binge food and has maintained their own abstinence for more than, you know, 3-4 months, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. And so to me, that hope that I get from hearing those stories gives me an emotional rearrangement. Like, just the hope itself is a spiritual thing. I used to be so despairing, and so there is no hope. Like, I will always be this way. And it just is. I remember when it hit me, like in August, September of this last year, it just hit me. Like, I'm a goner. Like, I'm toast. Like, I am going to grow up to be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds, which I thankfully never did, because I'm also a restrictor, like crazy in my head. And absolutely crazy in my head. And this new conceptions, a set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. It is what he describes as the result of when we do the 4th and 5th step, the 6th and 7th step, the 8th and 9th step, and obviously the 10th step, and continue. But the whole idea of it dominating me, like, I want to be dominated by, you know, by kindness, by generosity, by love, by caring more about others than myself. And I'm still kind of dominated by selfishness. I wake up in the morning, and as my friend in another program says, I wake up in the morning and I wonder who's going to breathe my air, you know? And I get that feeling of just totally, who's going to bother me, you know? And who's going to be in my space, and who's going to take from me? And I guess I've got this hope that there will be a new rearrangement come time with practicing the 10th step that will begin to dominate me, and so that my thinking won't be so much about, like, what are you going to take from me, but what can I put into life. So that's all, and I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much, Annabelle Z. from Washington. Okay, thank you, everyone who shared. Really great shares this morning. Thank you so much. And special thanks to Team Wednesday this morning, Martha Z, Naomi B, Penny LC, Laura R, Dion R, Audrey MP, Leslie M, and Elaine B. Thank you for Team Wednesday helping us make this meeting work this morning.
And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Laura R., would you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you so much. Hold on 1 second, let me get to it. All right. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.